Welcome back to Retail Therapy. My name is Will DeFreeze. Barrett Dudley, how are we doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm doing great here.
You kind of surprised everyone when you walked into the studio.
I did,
today.
Yeah. I'm kind of dripping right now. You are.
I'm a little worried about like the leather chair you're sitting in. It might get permanent damage for how much drip you have right now.
It was a little bit of a dress up day at work today. Mm-hmm. The only directive was to like look fly.
Okay.
And you know,
a company wide initiative instead of like casual Fridays, just look fly Fridays.
Yeah. And I'm running out of chances to like do things with these frosted tips that I've got
going.
So I kind of wanted to do like a little Backstreet Boys I Want It That Way mm-hmm. type thing. So mm-hmm. I just got decked out in all off white and
I love it.
That's my Friday look today.
I love it. I'm very jealous. I'm very jealous. We're recording on a Friday morning, which is something we usually don't do. And I'm excited to see what kind of vibe shift happens as we record later in the week as opposed to earlier.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it just means we're further away from Taylor Swift appearing in the box at the Chiefs game with Donna Kelce.
We are.
But we're closer now to hear her appearing in the box at the MetLife Stadium for the Jets Chiefs game. So
for all the Sunday listeners, drop day listeners, it's going to be an absolute scene.
Yeah, what an absolute show you're in for tonight. Do you think that she's going to run the 550s back?
Hadn't thought about that.
I think in her own element, right? I think in New York, I think she's maybe going to dial it a little like less sporty, maybe.
It'll be less public, I feel like. Even though she's in New York, mm-hmm. I don't think that it can be as public as the first time. That was like a circus in the best ways.
Yeah. But there was a lot of chatter about the wearing of the 550s, and honestly,
she kind of put us on blast.
I kind of think she injected life into them a little bit.
I do too. I think a lot of people were saying like, "Oh, she killed these," but I don't think that's the case at all.
What is dead may never die. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing about it.
We've been trying to kill 550s for a long time, and it's just not working.
It was kind of like Taylor. Clearly, Taylor's stylist still has these sitting on the shelf. And is ready to throw them down. So like maybe we shouldn't have been so hasty in attempting to dead them.
I mean, to be honest, wearing a pair of 550s to an NFL game sounds kind of nice.
It does sound kind of
nice. I don't want to wear them like all the time anymore and lug those things around. But you know, if I'm in a box at an NFL game and I need some shoes that I can get dirty and immediately clean up right after, 550s aren't a bad call.
They come in a ton of colors. Great for repping a sports team. I'm once again my thing from day one about the 550s has been that I like them on other people.
Yeah.
I just don't like them on me.
Like, can you imagine being like a Seattle Supersonics fan back in the day and just showing up wearing the green and yellow 550s? Like that would have been a great look if you were sitting courtside.
Yeah, sure would have been.
Can you tell that Taylor Swift's been my number one artist played on Spotify for the last 2 years, considering I'm completely turning on my opinion on 550s in favor of them now because she wore them one time?
Yeah. I mean, we're not that far away from Spotify Wrapped, and the amount of dudes with Taylor Swift in their numero uno spot, myself included, is going to be pretty hysterical, I think.
Mine will be, I can guarantee.
Not that dudes shouldn't be listening to Taylor Swift. They absolutely should. It's just like this was game changing this year, and it's going to be reflected on people's Spotify Wrapped.
Well, like the difference between like my number one artist and the rest of my artists is just jarring. It's like, how is this number one Taylor Swift and everything else is from like 1970?
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
So I'm excited to see that. I'm excited to see that.
Yeah. I can almost guarantee that she'll be my number one this year.
I'm pretty sure she'll be my number one.
The Lover album has gotten a lot of play, and we just have, I've got some other playlists that also get it. Fritz Mann loves it. We should get ahead of this right now, actually, speaking of my son. I will be on one more episode, but then I'm taking a little break for the old paternity leave, so Barrett's going to be leading the ship for a little bit, guys.
Wow.
Major announcement. But we'll have more on that probably next episode.
Yeah.
If you guys have anything you want to send in to us, please do so by just hitting us up at retail.pod on Instagram. We're just doing absolute numbers over there right now. I need to change the URL for this, but right now I'm not going to. So go to youtube.com/SundayScariesPodcast so you can watch all these episodes live. Barrett's just over there cooking on the ones and twos, just putting stuff on the screen all the time. It's a very satisfying way to watch it. And if you're looking for links to everything, I've got a link in here to the Substack where I will put up all stuff from this episode, whether it's products, whether it's links to articles that we talk about, or whether it's just some random tweet that we reference, I'll try to include it in there. I usually get those out pretty quickly. If I have to wait till Monday sometimes, I apologize, but sometimes that's just the way it is. Barrett, before we really get into today's episode, I do want to talk to you about something that has been kind of a dark cloud hovering over everything. We felt it a long time ago during a listener questions episode I did on Sunday Scaries about Loewe, who made a candle.
Famously.
I called them Lo.
Yeah.
And ever since then, we've had blunders, but it would... This is something that we had a lot of people reach out about, Barrett.
It's probably the most egregious, maybe of all time for me. I'm very embarrassed about it. I'm from Texas. I speak semi-okay Spanish. And I really, really botched the chili salt condiment, would you call it?
It's just a I don't know, whatever it is. What do you call it, Barrett?
And I was calling it tagine last week, which, you know, I want to come up with an excuse like, oh, I've been super into Moroccan food lately.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't have one. The J is obviously silent. It is tagine. And that's on me.
Is this going to scar you next time you're at a Tex-Mex restaurant ordering a margarita and you want to do it? Like, are you just going to cower away a little bit?
Yeah, probably. I'm just going to be like, give me that red stuff on the rim.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I'll take the spicy salt, please.
Yeah, I don't look. We're constantly, all day, we're faced with tough pronunciations, you know. And I'm completely thrown for a loop with a lot of the French ones, especially after my Jacques Mousse versus Jacques Mieux mishap.
I don't order French wines at restaurants because I'm afraid of the list.
And it's just like, well, when do you roll the J? When is the S dropped? When is it silent? Like. It's hard out here, and if you talk for long enough on podcasts, you're going to make some egregious mistakes like calling tahine tagine.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
so that one's on me.
It's okay, Barrett. It's okay. I didn't help you in that scenario. Part of my issue is that I simply don't order it.
Yeah.
I think I said that during the segment, but you know, I didn't look out for you there, and I wish I could have helped you out a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. You know, the words are just, they're flying on the podcast, man. We're moving a mile a minute.
We will endure. It'll be fine. Yeah, I think we can recover from this. I will say that
accountability, that's first and, you know, that's exactly. First and foremost. So.
The retail therapy listeners are like the nicest people when it comes to this. Like most people that have reached out about mispronunciations in the past say like, it's pronounced this way. Still love the podcast. Yeah. And it's like, thank you. That makes me feel good. Like,
they're not just like you like, stupid cuck.
Yeah.
Like,
nice credibility, loser.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Don't say that. That'll rattle me for the rest of the afternoon. If you do that, we have an exciting new sponsor today. I'm sure you guys have heard of the car company Alfa Romeo. Well, they are officially a partner of the Retail Therapy podcast. They have a new car that they've actually loaned to us for the week. It's called the Tenali. And I highly recommend you go check this thing out. This thing is brand new. It's loaded with tech. It's got a huge, large touchscreen. It's got safety tech in it. It's got all that emergency braking that you have to worry about these days when you're just driving and you just need a little help there. But these things are awesome. If you guys have ever driven an Alfa Romeo, you know that they got a little zip to them. You feel like Valtteri Bottas behind the wheel right there. They're just fun to drive. They've got the Italian exterior. They've got the interior design that just feels Italian. They just look luxe. It's a beautiful car.
Look at this thing.
I know. Look at it. It's just a great looking car. It just looks fast and zippy. But guess what? This thing has plug-in hybrid technology. It's got freedom to choose between gas or electric, and you can go 32 miles all electric or 360 miles total range. There are just so many awesome things about these cars. I highly recommend going and checking them out. Learn more about these at alfaromeousa.com. Again, it's the Alfa Romeo Tenali. It's just a beautiful car. alfaromeousa.com. Barrett.
Yes.
I feel pretty rattled by this. I like to show ankle in life. I like to keep my ankles tan. I like to not have a tan line. I usually over apply sunscreen while I'm playing golf in order to make sure that I don't have a tan line so that I can show off my ankles and be a little slutty because it's in famously. Emily Ratajkowski has a huge issue with this. We discussed it earlier this week on Circling Back, but it's so on the nose for retail therapy that I'd be remiss not to bring this up today. Have you been kind of struggling all week with your foot game?
Look, I've just got a whole bag of takes and feelings about this. This was brought up on her podcast.
It was
where she said that her recent ick is men's ankles, and I'm quoting here: exposed ankles. I hate that. Ratajkowski said on the pod. Quote, a dainty ankle exposed on the hottest man will ruin my day. Her aversion to sockless ankles, she continued, is a legitimate deal breaker. Quote, there was a guy I was seeing and he came over in short pants and like a shoe that exposed his ankle and I have not seen him since. Tough L for that guy.
Dude, our man's
did he know that that showing up in short pants and an exposed ankle was going to exclude him from potentially hooking up with one Emily Ratajkowski.
That's
a tough look.
Can you imagine if you're this guy and you're flipping the pages of GQ one day and you just read like, hold on, the reason she ghosted me was because I didn't wear socks that day? Like, are you kidding me? Like, what an all-time blunder from this. I mean, how would you even know?
Yeah, so that's pretty rough. It's not shocking to me. I don't think that Emily Ratajkowski like typically goes for like we've seen the guys that she dates. They're
city boys.
They're city boys for sure. Mm-hmm. And they definitely do not have, most of them do not have what I would call as like a dandy quality.
That's,
you know what I mean?
That's a really good point, actually. That's something I hadn't really considered. She does like herself some guys that are a lot more like New York City style driven. Like you don't.
Kind of slobby in a way.
Like
a couple,
just
like
kind
of.
They dress hard. Yeah. Like they're not dressing like they're California guys. They're not in the Scott Disick like LA grunge scene. They're more of like just like
sweatsuits.
Hey.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of understand where she's coming from. I also think that the GQ column covering her quotes and her podcast dives into it, there are some things that that I think guys should be staying away from right now. And the first one, like the biggest one, is basically like a sock that you can see, but that is low cut.
Mm-hmm.
So like basically I think if you're going to show ankle, you need to be in full no shows.
Yeah.
The you know, stance gamuts or whatever you pick your poison there. But like,
but a true no show.
A true like, no show where it looks like you don't have a sock on.
It's not you hoping that no one recognizes that there is a sock sticking out slightly.
Yeah.
It's that you can't see it.
It's that you can't see it.
And yeah. I am a victim of doing this a lot. I have some socks that I wear all the time with like white shoes, especially my Vans, and you can see like a little shred of them. I don't wear them to things that I care about. Like I wear them to work and I wear them to go like run errands and I don't really care. But if I'm going out and I'm showing ankle, like I always try to make sure that I have nothing visible.
Yeah. Yeah. And so there, you know, you everybody probably has, you know, a bunch of them in their drawer, right? Like a low cut, like Nike sock, right?
Yeah.
That comes just right under your ankle bone.
Oh yeah.
And you put those on with a pair of Nikes or whatever. And it's like, you can see a little bit of it.
Yeah.
And like great for a coffee run, right? Do your thing. But mm-hmm. if you're going for a look, that's a no-go. And then, as you mentioned, the bad one for me anyway, is when you do a no-show that still pokes out of the loafer. Like mm-hmm. if you put on a loafer, but your no-show comes up a little too high on the vamp and you can see just like the little, like a little bit of the a little half moon crescent, right?
Just at, no.
like, you, that's just go sockless, man.
No.
Just pull off the no-shows, sweat in them.
I used to have smellier feet than I have today. I think I've aged myself out of the hormones that caused me to have like overly smelly feet. But like a lot of people have asked me in the past, cause I go sockless so often, like, do you wear any socks under there? No. Like, because I don't want to even deal with that. And I'd rather just have a sockless look going sockless. Like it's just easier for me and I don't even have to question it. Cause a lot of the time you have these socks, especially the smaller socks are just these, they're not nice. Like a lot, they slide.
They slide.
Like,
yeah. Yeah.
There's never one that's just perfect. And so it's just easier to have a little bit of a sweaty foot.
The other thing, I mean, this is also about weather as well for me, right? Because as we talk about ad nauseum on this podcast, like it's super hot in Texas and it's hot for a long time. And like, so we tend to dress in very summery looks, very vacation adjacent looks, very, you know, like mm-hmm. a lot of the style here leans like maybe a little sportier or preppier. And it's like every once in a while, I think just yesterday, I put on like a Guaybera from Howler Brothers and like a pair of shorts, and I was putting on some Vans, and I was doing this mental math. I was like, well, let me try with socks,
mm-hmm.
and I put on some socks, and I was like, this looks stupid.
Yeah.
Why? Like this is not a look for socks.
I
went with like a full no show, and it's like socks don't wearing like cool socks or socks that show or like a calf sock like that. That doesn't work for a lot of looks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. so you really just like, you got to be using your best judgment here.
I'm wearing socks that cover my ankles today for the first time in a very long time. And it's because of two reasons. Randy, please get your hand ready. The first reason is that Emily Ratajkowski said she doesn't like ankles. And I was like, okay,
yeah, you were shook and you had to put on socks today.
The other reason is because I did an add-on order the other day from Amé Leon Dor where I these socks have been sitting on my dresser for over a week now. And I was like, you know what? Today's the day. I gotta do some nice socks. I might step out and go do something this afternoon where I didn't want to look like a slob. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'm going to wear some socks today.
Yeah, what if Emily Ratajkowski shows up?
I have to admit, like, I'm having some fun with my green socks, though. Yeah, I don't have very many colors. Socks, and so the only colored socks I have are the ones that are currently on ALD, and then I've got like one pair of tie-dye socks that I bought for a Dead concert.
Yeah,
and like I'm slowly trying to get more comfortable with some sock game. I've never wanted to be like the zany sock guy. I've always tried to resist that. But like now I'm especially rattled. If you want to put this on the screen, Barrett, I put a link up here to the guys at the Ryder Cup who are just currently getting smoked right now. Hopefully by the time this episode airs, we're back in it, but. These guys have done this all wrong. I feel like one of them exited their hotel room without socks on, and they're like, oh, dude, I'm ditching the socks too. It's like when you hear someone's going no tie, it's kind of like a waterfall situation.
Yeah.
They all just stepped out, and they have the most egregious tan lines. Golfers always have bad tan lines. This is
bad.
You can't do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just simply can't do this. Can't let your boys do this. The fact that like they all let each other do this shows me that they don't have what it takes to call each other out in the locker room over something. Yeah, like they're not taking responsibility for themselves.
it's funny how uniform it all is for these guys. Like how like they're even are they all wearing the exact same shoes? Even?
I think they might be. They could have just gotten absolutely fitted.
Did they all go to like Suit Supply together and like just like get kitted out in the exact same rig?
They might have. They might have.
Yeah. Look, with the changing silhouette and styles, right? Like the very like the peg legged kind of very tapered suit pant that's cropped like 2 inches above your shoe that you wear with no socks. That's like, yeah, it's. I think that is starting to get a little bit dated feeling. Like I think it still has its place, but when you and all of the bros show up at the wedding together and you're all wearing the skinny pant 2 inches above your shoe with no socks. Like that's generally when you know it's like time to zag.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's also that piece of it. Mm-hmm. This exacerbated by the tan lines for sure.
They got so wronged by the flash in this photo too. And without the flash in this photo, it's not nearly as egregious. And they're also hanging out on like a stoop outside in Italy and like late at night, presumably. Yeah, like no one's even thinking about this. And then you log on the next morning and see you're just getting roasted by all these people. Yeah,
they're just it's Europe, you know? They want to go sockless. They wanna get some of that sprezzatura, right?
I'm not kidding when I say that. I'm not even sure if I packed any socks when we went to Europe last year. Yeah. I could not be bothered.
Yeah. So I would just say again, when you're thinking about, just be intentional with your sock choice, and if you're wearing loafers or something like this, it's always better to go sockless than have a little you know sliver of your no-show peeking out, because that's the worst of all.
I might start a little thread. I experimented with this on Substack recently, but I might start a little thread with the retail therapy listeners. Just asking for recommendations from things every once in a while. I think socks would be a great place to start because there's a lot of different places out there you can get them, and sometimes you just want to have some party boy socks and some fun ones, and I don't really have a good source. Might be time for that.
Yeah.
Got something else that's popped up that's kind of it's rubbed me in a way. I don't know if it's the wrong way or the right way. We have previously covered a company called Grazza, an olive oil company, who had some beef with Brightland. I chose Brightland in that side of the beef because I thought the Grazza founder was a little out of bounds. I actually have a bottle of pizza oil getting delivered to my place today from Brightland that I'm very excited to try this weekend.
You really chose sides.
I did. Yeah, I did.
Have you tried Grazza?
I haven't tried Grazza. No. I'm sure it's great. I'm sure it tastes really good. I've heard their pizza oil is actually really good too. But I just figured I'd try that.
What are you going to do with the pizza? What is it? Brightford?
Brightland.
Brightland.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with the pizza?
You just squirt it right on the pizza. Apparently, it's just kind of a little topper.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Apparently, it changes the whole flavor profile. I'm very excited about this. But Grazza, they are good at marketing. I'm going to give them that. And they have gotten...
They got a good look.
They do.
Yeah. Yeah.
They do. They
can't take that away from them.
They get it. Well, they've introduced a canned olive oil martini, but wait, there's more. They have collaborated with Ora Bora. I'm not familiar with them, but it's a non-alcoholic olive oil martini made with real juniper, yuzu fruit, and grazza extra virgin picul olive oil.
Yeah, my immediate reaction to this is straight to jail. Like, straight to jail.
When I first saw it, I thought, okay, it makes sense that somebody finally did, like, a canned martini on, like, a mass level. That seems like it was due, but, I mean, drinking 8 ounces of a canned martini seems like a horrible idea for anybody. But even though making a canned martini might seem like a bad idea from a drinking standpoint, I think that making an N.A. olive oil canned martini is an even worse idea.
Yeah, you're just, it's losing me at every step of the way. Like, I'm watching, and here, you know, we'll pull up the little video that's tagged alongside this, right? Like, and I think you and I are both on the same page here. This very first step of drizzling the olive oil into your martini glass already, like, is like, has me gagging a little bit.
Yeah, we've been famously out on oil in our martinis. I don't think that's a big ask either.
I don't think so. And so now the fact that you're telling me you're going to put the olive oil, you're going to put these globules of oil into a aluminum can, and then I'm going to have to drink the oil out of the can. Now, and on top of that, it doesn't even have the alcohol. Like, what is happening? Why do I want this? Who wants this?
I'm fine with people. If people want to go spend money on, like, mocktails at restaurants, that's your prerogative. I'm totally fine with that. I think it's dumb that I spend $18 on, like, alcoholic drinks at bars. So by all means, do what makes you happy. But I just don't see myself being like, oh man, you know what sounds really refreshing right now? A 0.0 martini.
With olive oil in it?
Yeah, with oil in it.
Yeah.
Have you thought about your drink of the fall yet? I know it's early. I know we're still in summer weather down here, so I know this might be an out of bounds question. But...
Oh no, I'll rip it right now. I've already got a front runner.
Really?
Yeah.
What is it? I'm worried that you're going to say the exact same thing that I'm thinking.
It's a mezcal old fashioned.
Oh, okay. We're not thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
Has this been something that you've been drinking historically, or is it like a new kind of thing?
No, it's a new thing. Selena Gomez is ordering them on Only Murders in the Building, and
the newest season.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I've seen them on menus, and I think it feels right. I'm not generally a mezcal guy.
Okay.
But I like the switch up. Mezcal with its smokiness feels very fall winter to me, more so than a summer or spring kind of flavor profile. I was talking to Laura about this. Like, I think that the drink of the summer is very fluid and flexible, and, like, there's a reason that it always changes. Mm. It also makes sense to me that once we kind of, like, batten down the hatches for, like, our fall, winter kind of cozy vibes, that we typically stick to what we know.
Yeah.
And that the drinks of the winter kind of stay the same. Because, like, my forever drink of the winter is a Manhattan. Like, that's what I want to drink. That's what I want to order at bars. Like, that's what I'm going to make at home. Like, I always do. And I feel like I always will. Right.
Yeah.
So, and I have less of that in the summer.
Yeah. That makes sense. I'm drinking a lot more socially in the summertime than I am in the fall.
Yeah.
So I'm more likely to get kind of like what I talked about with the socks thing. When someone orders, like, a good sounding drink at a dinner, it's like, ooh.
Yeah. Right.
I'll do one of those, please. I like that. I also am not a big mezcal guy. Like, I have a couple bottles in our cabinet. They have been sitting there for 2 years, and they go down slower than any other bottles.
Yeah.
It's just because I don't really drink them. I don't like drinking it neat or on the rocks. I don't like making a mezcal and soda, and I don't really make that many cocktails.
Well,
I will
try
say
one
that
soon.
I think that a mezcal old fashioned could be the best way for me to take this in.
No, it sounds right. I'm gonna hit one up soon. What do you got? My
lazy drink of the fall. This is not my drink of the fall. This is my, like, oh, I just need something. I think I'm going to start doing a little more of a, like, Toki highball situation in my crib. It just seems like I have, much like Mezcal, a couple bottles of Japanese whiskey that I don't go through very quickly. But whenever I have a highball, I'm like, this tastes amazing.
Yeah.
And it's the easiest thing in the world. I always try to keep a little bit of, like, sparkling water at our place just for cocktails. I don't really like sparkling water in general. But I was in my cupboard the other night, and I was like, oh, I don't really feel like, you know, cleaning up, making a drink right now. This is the perfect solution.
Next time you see them at the grocery store, they don't always have them. I'm not actually sure when their season is, but when they have the yuzu lemons, grab one.
Okay.
And then garnish the highball with it.
Say no more.
Yeah.
Say no more.
That's the move.
Where do you stand on canned cocktails overall these days?
I mean, like, we have, like, a local company in Austin called Ranch Rider. That does, like, the canned ranch waters and margaritas and palomas. And they've got, like, five or six or seven different flavors now.
They've got like the Chilton.
The Chilton, the Buck. Yeah. I they're great. They're really, really good. They're especially nice when, you know, when you want to serve a cocktail or have a cocktail, but like you don't have time or like the, or the, or the means to make them, a tailgate, for example, right? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
it's easy to just grab the can. But I'm not like, if I'm at home, if I've got the means, if I've got the time and the space and all of that, then I'd just prefer to make my own cocktail.
I agree. I like having the control over my own cocktail. I really only drink canned cocktails when I'm in a situation where I like want the convenience of a beer, but I'm tired of drinking beer, or I simply don't want a beer. Yeah. And then I'm like, okay, I'll do one of these. And honestly, yeah, Ranch Rider is one of the ones that when I see that, I'm more likely to grab one because I do trust them. Like they're Chilton. I think they have a Paloma that I really liked, mm-hmm. but I like those more than I like the Ranch Waters and the other ones. But I'm also not a big Ranch Water guy, so I can't really talk. I tried to make one last night for myself and I did too much lime juice. Became a whole situation. Totally biffed it, dude. It was such a biff. I ended up pouring like 2/3 of it out after.
Oh, man.
I was just like, what am I doing? It was the most lime juice you could have ever had in a cocktail. It was like, it was just a brainless pour. And when I brought it back up, I looked at the bottle of lime juice I had and I couldn't believe how much was there. And I was like, oh man.
I mean, at that point you weren't that far away from a margarita.
I should have just made a pitcher of them. Yeah. Like it was just a ridiculous amount of lime.
Yeah.
I could taste the pulp like as I took every single sip. Just unnecessary. Well, I don't think we're going to be getting any canned olive oil martinis anytime soon.
No, I'm especially not trying if they're that. But I would like to hear, you know, DM us if you have potential drinks of the fall nominees, because it's about time. It's about time. You know, we're accepting nominations, I think, now as we head into the drinking season, the fall drinking season, and we'll report back.
Yeah, I need to up my, especially with the second child on the way, I need to up my at-home fall cocktail game away from just like whiskey on the rocks, which might be my cocktail
of
fall.
Maybe that's yours. Maybe that's yours. You know, dad of two. Like you don't have,
it's true.
You don't have time to be chopping up limes.
It's a very dad of two thing to do. Yeah. Just, I'm tired. I need this. Let's hear from our friends over at Nutrafol. You don't have to choose between better hair growth and your health. There's a holistic solution for men that promotes both healthier hair and whole body wellness. Get ahead of thinning hair with Nutrafol's whole body approach to hair growth. No drugs, no compromises. Have to admit that I've had a little concerns about my hairline lately. I've had a scalp issue that's been going on for a while now, and it's fine. They've told me I'm not going to lose hair because of it. I don't know if I believe them, but I want to make sure that I'm taking the right steps to make sure that my hair health is as good as it can be. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, clinically shown to improve your hair growth, thickness, and visible scalp coverage. Their hair growth nutraceuticals go beyond genetics to multi-target the root causes of thinning, including stress, hormones, nutrition, metabolism, aging, and lifestyle through whole body health. They've got physician-formulated, natural medical-grade ingredients. It's a drug-free, patented technology that provides consistent, reliable results without compromising your sexual health. And in a clinical study, men showed progressive improvement in hair growth and thickness after 3 and 6 months. They're also trusted and recommended by more than 3,000 top doctors. That's a lot of doctors. You too can grow thicker, healthier hair and support our show by going to Nutrafol.com and entering promo code SCARIES to save $10 off your first month subscription. This offer is only available to U.S. customers for a limited time, plus free shipping on every order. Get $10 off at Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code SCARIES. I haven't worn a jacket in a while, but yet I can't wait to, Barrett. A tweet came across my timeline the other day, not because I follow this person, but just because I see all of his tweets, because that's how Twitter works these days.
Yeah.
It's Derek Guy.
His
approval rating for me is higher than it has been in a while now, because I don't see him as much. But this tweet is one that I saw a million times over solely because of what it was about. It's about jackets. It says, question for men. I recently found out that some men think about cool jackets at least once a day, like a jacket they once saw or a jacket they desire. Or if how they owned a specific jacket, they would wear this nice little thing. Men folk, do you all do this? And what shocked me about this is that it wasn't the usual suspects quote tweeting this on my timeline. It was people that I follow who really don't care about like fashion and style at all, being like, oh, this is so me. And that's when I immediately knew, okay, this is more accurate than I gave it credit for when I first like looked at it. I mean, I feel like, no, like I think that it's probably safe to say that you think about jackets a lot.
I do. Yeah. Yes.
I don't think I need to even question that when it comes to you.
No, looking in my closet and looking at like the number of lightweight jackets and just other jackets that I have is, at once one of the most comforting things I can do on my day to day. It's also one of the, you know, it gets to me as well. I'm like, this is too many jackets. Mm-hmm. But I like looking at them. I like thinking about them. I like imagining living in a place where I got to wear all of them more than once a year. And so I absolutely vibe with this, this tweet. Do you have any jackets that you're like really, like that live in your head, that take up free real estate?
I have a lot. I have several. I mean, I have some that I own myself. Like the jacket that I think about the most during this fall season is my Filson cover cloth jacket. That's just like your traditional barber jacket. That's the one that I get most excited for. Last year I hardly even wore it. And I think that might be a sign of the times. So I'm just kind of getting beyond it and going more of that like chore coat look. Mm-hmm. But I have a green chore coat that I'm just obsessed with too, that I'd like to wear all the time. That's what I really look forward to. I just dropped a link in here for you, Barrett, on this on the rundown.
Yeah.
I think about this jacket a lot. I'm not sure if you guys have heard of her, but Queen Elizabeth, like she's just, whenever I think about fall fashion stuff, I just think about like Queen Elizabeth just vibing out up in Scotland at Balmoral, just enjoying herself, just wearing like Hunter Green, just layering up everything, just, you know, putting some wool mittens with them, just catching a vibe.
Are you the Crown guy?
I am, but I've done something weird, which is that I have not watched past the first episode of the most recent season of The Crown.
Okay.
I think it's because I did not believe that Prince Charles could be that good looking.
Oh, it threw me off.
Yeah, I was like, this is so inaccurate. Like, they made him dopey in the rest of them. Why can't we make him a little dopey in this one too?
No, well, that's because the most recent season is kind of an ode to Charles, I would say.
It's like, are they getting paid off?
They're doing him some favors. And to be frank, I didn't mind it. I liked it quite a bit.
It's one of those things where like, I almost think that we just need to dive back. We didn't have it at the right time. And once the weather starts cooling off, the Crown might feel a little more natural to watch.
It's definitely, it hits better in the fall winter for sure.
Emma Corrin? Is that her name?
Yes. Yes. Emma Corrin.
Corrin. Yeah. Didn't mispronounce it. Just got it wrong. I love her as Princess Diana though.
Yeah.
She has been phenomenal in what I've seen of her as Princess Diana. And so I'm all there for that. I think she's actually been seen dating someone recently.
Mm.
I think it might be Paul Mescal.
No, is it?
Am I wrong in thinking that? I'm going to have to look it up now. No, I'm sorry. Rami Malek.
Oh, yeah.
I don't really have any takes on that couple other than like, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
The one, if you've listened to me and chat forever on a podcast, then you probably heard me talk about this is the Saint Laurent L01 leather jacket by Eddie Slimane. Made famous in the mid 2010s, 2014 to 18 was really like the height of its run, and everybody wore this. Every like Aziz Ansari famously is wearing this like all throughout season one of what is it? Modern
Master of None.
Thank you. Jeff Goldblum wore this all the time. Pharrell was wearing this. Like, it was all over the damn place. And it's not even really like in style anymore, so to speak, like, you know, to the point that a moto leather jacket like this can ever go out of style. But it's not like, as I talked about in the episode with Sally and Laura, like, this is like, if you're doing a leather jacket right now, it probably doesn't look like this.
Yeah,
but this, I have never wanted a jacket more in my entire life. Like, this lived in my head for years. And like, anytime I would end up at like a Barney's on a trip or something, I would go in and I would try it on, and I would go into St. Laurent.
I can't believe you had the control not to like just put that thing on layaway and call it a day. If you like, you going in somewhere and trying it on, that pretty much means that you're one mistake away from owning a really nice leather jacket.
Yeah. I mean, the good news, I guess, was that the price was just always like prohibitive. Like, it was not something that I could afford, but I still think about this jacket. It's still probably like what I would call like my ultimate, like just because of how much I thought about it for so long, it's like my ultimate fashion girl.
Mm-hmm.
And
do you mind if I ask the price of this leather jacket?
Yeah, it's like, it retails for around $5,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's that. Now you know why I couldn't just like.
I bought my car when I moved down to Austin for $5,000.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good deal. And that is why I never owned one.
Yep.
But just a god tier fashion grill, that one.
Something that a jacket that's owned some real estate in my head lately was actually featured on a Retail Therapy episode live. Gian's Bodhi custom jacket.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like for me, I'm not, I don't even desire like his exact jacket, but I just sit there thinking if I had the choice, what would I get on there? And that's like my daydreaming now.
Yeah.
Like what doodles do I want on there? It's just tough. I don't have any jackets that I haven't bought in the past. I mean, I can just get ahead of, okay. I was just going to bring this up. No jacket is owning more real estate in my head, and it's for all the wrong reasons. It's not because I haven't gotten it. It's because you haven't gotten it, and it's the most recent drop from ALD. What is this jacket even called again?
Just like the blanket overshirt. Yep.
I have officially signed up for alerts if it goes back in stock because someone one in.
So the thing about ALD restock notifications, especially on a piece like this, is that if you are not looking at your Gmail on your computer when the email arrives in your inbox and you hit it immediately and you check out immediately, like it's gone. Because I actually did get a restock notification for this in a size small.
Yeah.
And I was like I saw it like 30 minutes later and long gone.
I did have success one time with a Woolrich vest off ALD one time doing this. And I was so pumped when it happened because I knew that there was a very small chance. And I was looking at my email when it came in and like I could feel my heart skip a beat. Yeah. I was like, let's go.
Yes, I think I've definitely been known to spend this much money on a piece of clothing. So the fact that I passed on this really, truly, shows how serious I was about, no spend September and hopefully maintaining that through no Coptober. But yeah, this was extremely difficult to pass up. I'll say this, I'm justifying the decision in my head right now.
Stop.
Which is, it does not have pockets, no pockets on the side.
Okay.
Which is a miss to me.
Okay. Are there any interior pockets?
And it is not lined and there are no interior pockets. So it is, I have heard reports from an owner of said jacket that it is a bit scratchy.
Okay. Okay.
And so that makes me, that calms me down a little bit.
If that had
a
silk liner, it's over.
Yeah.
For that price point with a silk liner or something, it would be great.
A silk liner and like some hand pockets. Cause that's how I would wear this here. Like over a t-shirt as a
correct.
As a pretty warm jacket for our.
What's killing me about this even more, and like this is for a lot of products that they make, is just the styling of it. Like whenever I see a photo of this styled, I'm like, I get it.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I want to get coffee in this. Yeah. I just want to do it.
Yeah.
It is a little dark in the styling on some of the photos where I'm like, how much does this pop in daylight when in the middle of the day?
Yeah, it's pretty poppy, I think.
Yeah.
But certainly a head turner.
I have a jacket that's been owning a little bit of real estate in my head lately, but I'm going to wait till wishlist items for that one.
Good.
I'm going to wait till wishlist, yeah. We do have another thing on here today. We've talked about how being a little slutty's been in for a while now.
Sure.
We like to be a little slutty all the time. I haven't read Bustle probably since I was writing for Postgrad Problems. It's been a while since I've hit the Bustle side of things, but this got me. And as I started to read it, I think I actually featured it this week on the Sunday Digest. It says, the thirstiest thing a man can do is read. Immediately, I thought to myself, like, this is offensive. But then I realized they're not talking about me because I don't read nearly enough to be considered thirsty. Barrett, what is your immediate reaction to the idea that a man reading is thirsty?
Yeah, what this makes me think of is there is a long-running Instagram account that is basically, I'm not going to think of the name, but it's basically like hot dudes in New York on the subway reading books.
Yeah, I think I followed it at one point and they either stopped posting or it just got so suppressed by my algorithm.
Yeah, right. So that's what it makes me think of, right? Is like your classic hot New York guy like getting on the subway and very obviously reading something that indicates how emotionally intelligent they are, or intellectual they are, or progressive, or whatever it is that they're going for, that they want to communicate, right? That's immediately what I thought of, and this totally tracks. Like I like their comparison in the article here written by Samantha Leach. Like I like how she talks about how, you know, typically it's like maybe I'm shirtless, whoops, or like here I am with a puppy, or the classic, like holding up a fish, which is not very thirsty, but like is something that dudes
just
definitely
a thing,
is just
for
a
some
thing
reason.
That, yeah,
I'm outdoorsy enough to go on one fishing trip. I'm not outdoorsy, but I have enough money to go on a guided fishing trip in Montana.
So I like this one. I like this as like the new is kind of the new thing that guys are doing to throw a thirst trap, basically.
I'm going to read a little section of this. It says, according to a recent study, both men and women find reading to be the biggest green flag behavior for prospective partners. And lately, it seems as if the boys I'm stalking, this is her writing, obviously, on the internet, are taking this stat to heart. As I've turned 30, the evolution of my similarly aged single men on the internet has been a fascinating spectacle to behold. I've observed as they've exhausted the low-hanging fruit, your run-of-the-mill fishing photos, shirtless mirror pics, and selfies with puppies, and have turned to a newer, more esoteric form of thirst trapping, sharing what they're allegedly reading, whether that's via a selfie clasping a book to their chest with a caption like, fuck, so good, or a more refined picture of a paperback positioned next to a Pilsner. It's true. It's true.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I've always thought this, and I think this is, I don't think this has any gender, but whenever I see someone go on vacation and post like their setup at the pool, and they've got like a little drink there, they've got a book there, all I can think of is like, this book ain't getting read. Like, this book is, this. There might be, the average pages read when someone posts a book on vacation is about 8 to me. Like, they might finish the first chapter, and if they finish the first chapter, I think they're going to finish like most of the book. If you can't get through the first chapter on vacation, it's over for you. I'm trying to think. I don't think I've posted any books lately. I think the last time I posted a book, Fritz was like, I don't know, real young. Well, yeah. When's the last time these guys posted?
It's Hot Dudes Reading. And, let's see, this looks like it was the last post.
Oh, they're still posting.
They're still posting.
Maybe I don't follow.
Yeah. But here's a classic, Pedro Pascal, Reading on the Subway, right?
Are like, you reading anything right now,
what's
Barrett?
Hotter than that? Yeah. I'm reading an Emily Henry novel.
Okay.
Yeah.
We out here. Which one?
Beach Read.
I mean, I'd be lying if I said that I have not considered reading that numerous times. If I felt like logging out of my Kindle account and logging into Sally's on my iPad, I would have read it by now. But I just haven't felt like doing that.
That's those are the books that are floating around my house right now. And I was just like, all right, I gotta see what all the fuss is about. Let's dive in here.
Well, before I even started reading this article, I just control F'd when I clicked in Sally Rooney. And obviously it came up because the thirstiest thing a dude could do is read Sally Rooney.
I think that's the pinnacle. Gotta be, right? Just you're reading like, what is it? Normal People or Conversations with Friends?
It's just stuff that makes you cry.
Yeah.
This says like, she said something about like crying in H Mart or Sally Rooney or professing a knowledge of the other patron saints of Sad Girl Lit was akin to enough to posting an Eames chair or a shiny new industrial loft apartment. And if I had an Eames chair, I would be posting it all the time.
I was just gonna say, you think it's hot to like be posting like if you're like a 35-year-old dude and you're just like posting like fantasy novels or like YA series, the Hunger Games prequel, like next year Pilsner,
yeah, like, is that, like girls aren't is that girls hot? Aren't getting psyched up for that, but like all the guys that I know that read like a lot that go through books, they're all sci-fi guys.
Yeah.
I feel like that's just normal.
So great segue. There's a new coffee and bookstore here in Austin called First Light.
Mm-hmm.
You heard of this? it's up in like North Loop, Hyde Park area.
Okay.
And it's very, very cool. It's going to have a tiny grocer next to it. But that tiny grocer is going to have like a really like, it's a cool, like a cool new restaurant. I think our friend Alex is actually, is part of the PR and the marketing for that new spot. And it's this cool little bookstore with a little coffee shop, and it's just like very buzzy. And we went last weekend, and they didn't have, it's, you know, small selection, very small selection. So I asked just to see if they had the book that I was looking for, which is a sci-fi book that I was looking for, The Three Body Problem, which is what I'd like to read next. And, they said, well, no, we don't have it, but we can get one on order for you. And so I let them get one on order for me, and I'm going to go pick it up. It just arrived yesterday.
Let's go.
So now, now I'm just supporting my local bookstore, and I'm going to go. I had them order me a book. You know,
it's a beautiful thing.
Now I'm off Amazon. I'm really out here doing it.
You're thirsty as fuck right now.
Thirsty, yeah.
Are you a Red Rising guy?
No.
Apparently, I got some friends that read Red Rising, and they absolutely love it. Yeah, it's a little fantasy action.
All right.
Something I wish we would have done when we were in New York is I wish we would have gone to the Sweet Pickle Bookstore.
Mm.
It's a pickle bookstore in New York City. It's on the Lower East Side, and I think they just have pickles and books, which sounds truthfully wow. awesome to me. I even though I don't read all that much, there is something that I love about going into a bookstore, or like even as a kid, whenever we'd go into the bookstore, I'd go like look at all the magazines for a while. But I just like being in a bookstore. It's just like quiet and relaxing.
Yeah.
And if I can eat a pickle while doing it, I think I might just have to do it.
But these guys have great merch.
They probably do. We need to do a collab with the Pickle with Bookstore. Pickle
Books?
Yeah, like, yeah. Like I just need something from them.
Yeah.
I need that. I need that New York's Best Pickle Bookstore sticker on my laptop yesterday. I don't know. I'm trying to read more, but like nothing's catching me these days, and I'm just not in like the reading wavelength right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it's hard to find time, like find like to carve out the windows too.
The you, only you time I read dedicated to is on flights. Like I read other times, but the only time I get good reading done, more than a chapter, is like on a flight where I can just start cruising through, and then that's when I get addicted to a book. But when I start reading at home, I get distracted by something, whether it's like the dog, the kid, text message, whatever. It's like I just don't have time to do it. But you best believe that if I finish a book or if I'm like deep into a book, I will be thirst trapping it on my Instagram story at some point.
Yeah, I think what we're really learning here is that when we do get into our intellectual bag and pick up a book, we got to post about it.
It's true. I might go to the bookstore. I might go to the bookstore a little later today. Yeah, my current thirst traps are like, I guess when I was single, I guess I wasn't thirst trapping much on like Instagram stories because Instagram stories weren't there for when I was single.
Yeah,
but like,
yeah.
I mean, like the first thing that comes to mind that's adjacent to this is like just your meal. I love it when single dudes are just like, you know what? It's a Wednesday night and I just made this really mediocre salmon bowl. I'm going to hit the timeline with this.
Yeah,
and I'm going to hope that someone's like, ooh, enough for two? Like that's 100% what I would have done. I could have easily cooked on that for a little bit. But like outside of that, like fit pics and dog pics are the only other thing I could have thought of that like I could do. And I mean, I don't throw up mirror selfies to thirst anybody. I just do it because I want people to see that I'm wearing a Lions jersey for the fourth week in a row.
Yeah. Well, it's official. You heard it here first on Retail Therapy. Books are back.
Books are back. If you guys aren't reading, you got to start reading, dude. Shift your personal vibe one time.
We're people aren't reading. We're definitely breaking this news.
We are.
Y'all got to start reading. That's what it is.
You're making me feel bad about reading on a Kindle right now.
Well, yeah. How are you going to, you can't thirst trap your Kindle.
No. I'm not even doing it on Kindle. I'm doing it on the Kindle app on my iPad. That's swagless.
You gotta have those pages, man.
I need the vintage one. I need like a vintage book, like coming apart.
Those curled, crusty pages.
They're like yellow at this point.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They've got someone else's like inscription in it. Like, oh, Mabel, 1968.
Yeah, first edition.
Mm-hmm. Let's do some wish list items.
Alrighty.
I'll start us off since we were already talking about jackets. I'm on the hunt for a new jacket, and this is the leader in the clubhouse for me right now. I'm not very familiar with this brand, so I can't stand behind it, but I just like this jacket for some reason.
Do you want to try to pronounce this brand?
Dien? I'm going to say Dien 1920.
Okay.
Who knows? I want a fall jacket that is not hunter green or brown. Mm-hmm. I want a little pop.
Yeah.
I think burnt orange is enough of a pop for me. And I think because I didn't go to UT, I won't feel like I'm just doing school colors.
Yes.
There might be people around Austin that think I might be, but there's something about this that I really do like. And I just kind of want to order it and try it on. It just looks comfortable. It looks nice. While I will stand behind Filson and companies like that as much as I can, because I mean, they do make a lifetime warranty product. It's always fun to step out a little bit and look at some other stuff. And I think this is it. Now I always check out like Tony Shirtmakers and stuff. And when he ever does like jackets and things like that, I do really like it. But this one just stuck with me when I first clicked it.
Yeah, this is nice. I really do like burnt orange. It pops up in as a fall color pretty regularly as one of the hot colors. And you're exactly right. Because I went to UT, I'm always like, well, I can't wear this because it just looks like I'm going to a sports game or something and like support, like, and I just have this weird of kind of aversion to it, which maybe is stupid, but I do love the way this looks.
There was a Noah jacket. I think it was Noah at least that was kind of more canvassy, but similar to this. And it was like, I think it was like a purple plum color. I can't find it online anywhere. I've been trying to find it lately, and which makes me think that it was never even Noah to begin with. It's a jacket that I think of all the time that I wish I could have gotten. I tried to get it for Sally when it first got released, but it sold out so fast that I couldn't get there. And it just crushed me because I was like, this is a cool fall jacket in this like plum purpley color.
Where was this?
I thought it was Noah, but I can't find it anywhere. And so it's just annoying
me. Was it Noah Barber?
That's what I thought it was. But when I searched it, nothing seems to be coming up for it.
Hmm.
They do have like a darker one that looks a little more blue. But this one was like a deep purple.
Yeah,
but I think
it was Noah Barber though, because that sounds really familiar.
It is, right?
They did several collaborations. Yeah.
Yep. And I really liked that color. I thought it was interesting, but I was trying to get it as a gift for Sally, and I just couldn't make it happen. But now I want it for myself.
Well, we're on similar wavelengths here with our wish list, and yet not so similar. But I also have a kind of burnt orangey brown jacket.
Let's go
on my wish list. It's just in a completely different zone. It's absolutely absurd. Chances are I will never own this jacket. But last week on Ins and Outs, talked about how velvet was so hot right now. And Will, I just want to wrap myself up in this crushed velvet.
Let's go.
Brown, orangey jacket from Colleen Estrada. It just looks like absolute butter. It feels like Harry Potter's invisibility cloak a little bit, like what I imagine it feels like.
Since
we're on our sci-fi tip and our fantasy tip today.
I'm imagining you just chilling at Howard's right now. And like, lights are low. Everyone's wearing pants.
Everybody's wearing pants.
Like the Guinness is just
not an
flowing.
Ankle in sight.
No, zero ankles in there. Zero ankles. And like, you're just sitting there and you're just bobbing. You're just bobbing along. Yeah. Yep.
This is definitely a Howard's jacket. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The thing, and here's my strategy. I think somebody asked a question on this on maybe like an NAMA on the gram, I think. And I didn't get a chance to answer it, but kind of like basically asking, do I use any like trackers or anything like that to know when things drop in price or go on sale. And the answer is no, I'm just a psychopath and I just have 97 tabs open at one time. And I
can't
just
confirm.
And I just constantly am like going back and checking and like get all the emails. I'm just like ready to snap. This jacket's not selling out at full price because this thing is insane. You know
Correct.
What I mean? So this is one that like, this is one I know will be available at a discount later. And if we get to Naughty November, and the handcuffs come off.
No Coptober is going to be tough on you.
Yeah, well, right. It will be. But
I can't wait for you to have like an all-time credit card bill in November because you've just been holstering so much.
Yeah, it's gonna require some, I'm gonna have to wean myself back on.
If there are trackers out there for like sale prices and stuff like that, please don't forward them. I don't need that in my life. I don't want to see them. It's just not something I need. I operate solely in the realm of like, if I think about it a week later and go to the site and it's on sale, then I'm happy. But if I don't think about it ever again, then I just try not to ever dive back in.
Right. Yeah.
I used to bookmark everything in a tab group called Buy. That became very dangerous because it would just be like, oh, I'm kind of bored today. I'm just going to go look at my Buy tab. And suddenly it's like, ooh.
B-Y-E?
No.
Oh, B-U-Y. Buy.
And it was just like, cool. I'm going to... I'm just going to get like reminded of a t-shirt that I saw 4 months ago that now I'm just going to go buy for absolutely no reason. That's all I got this week, Barrett. That's all I got.
Look at that thing.
I know.
Glisten and glow.
You're going to get this and you're going to wear this to the Thanksgiving UT game.
I would like to. That'd be nice. And you can wear this one.
I probably would, yeah. I mean, that's kind of the goal. I sent it to Sally hoping that she would give me like an indication one way or the other based on the price
of
that jacket.
Were you kind of hoping that she was like that the UT, the burnt orange, was kind of going to sway her a little bit? Like, oh yeah, like kind of like send it over the edge a little bit?
Yeah, she didn't even respond to me. She didn't. She gave me nothing on that.
It's probably because she saw your ankles this morning.
She did. She's disgusted by the fact that I just haven't worn socks to any wedding in the last like 6 years. All right. Well, we'll be back next week. But then after that, I will be out for a couple weeks. But we'll keep you in tune. If you guys have not watched on YouTube, please go check out the links in the description of this episode to go check out the YouTube link, the Listener Digest link, everything. It's all right there. But other than that, we'll see you next week.
Adios.